Moncrief on News Talk.
In 21st century Ireland, the construction of a home, a road or any building can often be held up by planning or ecological concerns. But there's a further very Irish and much more ancient concern that can complicate things. The existence nearby of a fairy fort or a fairy tree. Many people would be highly reluctant to build on one. Eddie Lenihan is not just a Shanachie and an author, but also campaigned to save a fairy tree in Clare when the M18 was being built. Good afternoon, Eddie.
Well, I was going to say good morning, but good afternoon.
That's just evidence of your lavish lifestyle, if it still feels exactly like morning to you. Describe for us how would you know a fairy tree?
Normally, because they stand alone in the middle of a field. Once you see one, you'll know one. They're normally a white thorn. At this time of year, especially, May bushes do stand out because with their white foliage, they do stand out. But a lone one in particular will stand out because when they stand alone, there must be a good reason for it because people have left that bush alone for a particular reason.
And obviously they've left it alone because it's a fairy tree. What's the function of the tree?
Well, I've been collecting stories now from old people and recording them for the last 49 years. And people have told me, mainly old people have told me, because these are a marker for the fairies. Either they mark a fairy path, a bush here, and if you'll find that there's another bush further down the line, we'll say, of the fairy path. Because remember, the fairies are like us. They have their roadways and paths. They play hurling, football. Never, by the way, do they play soccer or rugby. They're imported games. The fairies are native to Ireland, the Irish fairies. And they will also, sometimes, the fairy bushes, they'll be a resting point for the fairies on their travels, or a resting point for the fairies when they're playing their games, because they're very, very combative. If that is the word.
Yes.
If they're playing a game of hurling in particular, because they're mighty hurlers, and they will be playing against another crowd, and in their fierce matches, they'll be resting maybe under one of those bushes.
Okay.
And I tell you, the man who told me about that particular bush on the M18, well, there was no M18 at the time, but which saved the bush, he said he was a cattle drover. And in the nearby field, he used to leave his cattle at night before a cattle fair, because there was no trucks at the time. And he'd collect his cattle there in the morning, where he'd be maybe going to the fair of Six Mile Bridge or Tulla or Ennis or wherever, in order to drive them at an early hour of the morning. And this particular morning, he came to the field and he found these lumps of greenish stuff. And he knew immediately, of course, that the fairies had been fighting there the night before.
Now, gosh.
Around the bush in particular. Mm. Now, that field was noted, in any case, for things happening. Because it was at a boundary.
Yeah.
And very often, at boundaries, that's where you'll find these things, noted for these things.
Yeah. And the paths themselves, is it possible to kind of figure out where the path and how it goes, or is it like a straight line between the trees?
Not necessarily a straight line, but straight enough, because between one of these bushes and another one, that's how you judge another a fairy path. Now, I've heard in many, many stories where houses were built on one of these paths, and Nothing but trouble in those houses afterwards. Sometimes even a house like that had to be abandoned.
Oh, God.
I know one of those houses in my own parish in County Kerry where the house had to be abandoned.
And is that because the house is built maybe inadvertently on the path and the fairies still have to go through it, or the fairies are like fecked off and because they have to go around it?
No, they won't go around it. They won't go around it. You have built on a path that they had been using. how would you know? Well, people like Biddy Earley, the famous Biddy Earley, and others like her would know, because they would have a gift from God only knows where, and people used to go to people like her to know, before they built a house, would there be a path in this place? And another thing, you see, the old people weren't stupid. We might not get on well in their world. They might not get on well in ours because we're technological, but they had their own way of doing things. And what they would do, if there was any notion that there might be a path before they built a house, what they'd do is they'd get four hazel sticks, handy-sized hazel sticks, and where they were to build their house, they'd put a hazel stick at each corner of the proposed house. And if any one of those sticks was moved in the morning, don't build there.
Oh.
Now, move them around. Move them around.
Yeah.
Don't abandon the site. Move them around until all was standing in the morning, and then go ahead with your building, because you'd have a warning from the fairies if any of them were moved. I had to go out recently with a man, a very sane man, a guard, who came to me because his wife was in doubt that something had happened in the site that they had bought. And she wanted her mind put at rest.
Mm.
So we went out, we got four hazel sticks, good solid ones, and we put them down on the site. Nothing was moved, and they went ahead and they built their house. It put her mind at ease.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those beliefs haven't gone away.
Yeah.
They've not gone away.
And if someone has the misfortune to build their house on a path, what kind of things can happen to them? Like, would the fairies be a bit spiteful about it?
Well, I'll tell you, the house I knew in Brosna, where I come from, the man is dead now, God rest the man, but he told me that at night the dresser used to come down with a crash, and the crockery breaking, cutlery spreading, tables and chairs dancing around the floor, and I jump out of bed, look down, nothing. Mm. Everything in its place. And this went on and on and on until eventually they got the priest, of course. The priest said prayers, it didn't help. And eventually what solved the problem was an old travelling man who was going the road. They knew him, because there were a lot of old travelling men on the road that time, honest old lads who'd call to you maybe once or twice a year. And the old man told him, because these old lads, they knew the countryside well. He said, "You're having trouble, are you?" And trouble? He says, "We're plagued. We're going to have to move out of the house and build again." He said, "No, no, no. There's no need of that." He said, "Look what you're after doing. Come here." And he said to the man's wife, "Open the door there, the back door." And she did. And he said to the man of the house, "Look down there now and tell me what you see." And he looked down, and about 2 fields below, a lone white thorn bush.
Mm-hmm.
And now he said, "Look out here at the front door." And he did. And about 2 fields out, another white thorn bush. And now he said, "Look where you built your house, right between the two, on their path." "Oh, Christ," he said, "can I do anything?" "He can. You can," he said. "They're coming right through your house here, and while they're coming through, they're striking the wall there at the back. Open out a new door. Let them through, or you'll have no peace in this house." And that day, the man did. He closed up the other door at the back, opened another one beside it, and they went to bed that night, expecting the same trouble again. They didn't get a wink of sleep. But the man told me there wasn't a sound.
That's mad.
And never afterwards any trouble.
Yeah. Now, if you build close to a fairy fort, can you run into similar problems?
I think the law today is you're not allowed to.
Mm.
You have to build several metres from a fort today.
OK, but there wouldn't be a path coming out of the fort, would there?
No. Oh, good question. More than likely there is. But your problem there is, which side is it? Because if the boys, and I call them the boys with a capital B, if the boys are coming out, which they will on November Eve and on May Eve, the big two nights of the fairies moving from one fort to another. So they will be coming out. Which side will be they'll be coming out? So most sensible people will build well back from a fort in order to give them scope.
Yeah.
That's what the old people always believed. Give them space, give them their space, and they won't bother you.
Yeah. Are there many fairy trees and fairy forts still left intact in the country, Eddie?
Oh, God, yes, I know. I'm living here in Clare now, but I know about six of them within a reasonable distance of me here.
So that would indicate that even today in, you know, the so-called modern era, people are generally speaking just still respecting those.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Very much so, because even young people know about them, even though now they may not add them. I know people, they're inside in the pub or whatever, they laugh, ha ha ha, that old nonsense. But by God, if you ask those people, would you knock it so? It's any old nonsense. But then, there's always a but. But. There's always a but.
Yeah.
You're to leave it alone. You're sure to do no harm. You're sure. No, the belief is still there. And yeah. We're lucky it is.
Yeah. That's and that goes back God knows how long, Eddie. I imagine you're talking about a belief that goes back thousands of years.
Of course you are. It's a pre-Christian belief.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see that some kind of belief still survives in this country in something serious, because God only knows, isn't it? Look at all the people that are going around now with their beep-beep machines, as I call them. We have a whole beep-beep generation, and God only knows what it's going to end up in, because you're raising a generation of idiots.
Yeah. Actually, it would be a good idea, actually, for the phones, if there was an app on the phone that would tell you where fairy forts were and where fairy trees were, so people could respect them a bit.
Well, this next week now, I'm going out with the local primary school here on a tour of our own parish, just to show them the historical things in the parish so that they'll know that for themselves, which they should.
Yeah.
The primary school children of each parish should know what's in their own parish as a start.
Yeah, absolutely. One of our listeners wants to know, Eddie, how do you know the end of the fairy path, or is there an end to it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not, because if they... Look, as I said, they're like us. They're the very same as us, except for one thing. One thing only. They have no red blood in them. Their blood is palish, whitish. So... In every other respect, they're like us. I knew an old man. He lived to be 100, except for 1 week. And I was so sorry that he never got Michael D's letter and the €3,500 that he was entitled to, you might say, to live so long. But I knew him for 30 years. A man that you could not get the end of his stories. I'd say in 50 years of collecting stories, I have met only about 5 people like him. You couldn't get the end of his stories. I was at his hospital deathbed when he died. But I remember one particular night I was visiting him in his home. He never married the same man. But we were talking about this, that and the other. And he met the fairies, he told me. And of course I asked him, Mick, what do they look like? And he didn't reply for several... It seemed like several minutes, but of course it wasn't. Maybe 30 seconds. And then he turned around to me in the silence and he said, the person sitting beside you could be one of them and you wouldn't know it.
Whoa.
And I thought that was the most frightening answer I ever got.
Absolutely. Eddie, we'll leave it there on that kind of... That, the hair stood up in the back of my head there for that
can
one.
Can I just say, as a final thing, anybody who is interested in real fairy stories, they might have a read of my book, Meeting the Other Crowd, which is not my stories, but the stories I recorded from those old people over the last 50 years. And I'll guarantee you, these aren't little children's stories, airy fairy stuff. I always say to people about that book, and it's now in its 17th edition. You can get it in Japanese, Chinese, Italian, and actually even a textbook in Moscow University for a while. I always say to people, if you want to sleep tonight, start at the beginning. If you don't want to sleep tonight, start at the end.
That's the best plug I've ever heard for a book. Eddie, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was Eddie Lenihan there, a storyteller, Shanachie, and the author of Meeting the Other Crowd. Best not to read it at bedtime.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.